Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becklass AB to CV 2024 Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
San Antonio District Judge resigns after a federal corruption probe.
A former San Antonio, Texas judge goes to federal prison after pleading guilty to accepting bribes in exchange for rigging cases in his court. Angus McGinty committed the ultimate judicial sin. Why did you do it?
I did it because I was foolish.
Listen to How to Bribe a Judge on RevolverPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, my God!
You want a podcast? Great. They have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Pay-per-view week. Thankfully, Ken Flo is back from the United Kingdom in one piece. It is Monday, February 3rd, 2020, episode 235 of the Anik and Florian podcast. On behalf of Ken Flo, we thank all of you jiu-jitsu practitioners across the UK for attending all of those seminars and classes, and saw a lot of learning going on, but thankfully, Ken Flo, you lived to tell about it. A little scary on the highway over there in England. Is that where this all went down?
Exactly. Yeah, man. We were on the motorway, as they call it. And, tractor trailer kind of went into our lane. We almost got, like, stuck between the two tires, you know, the front tire and the back tire of the big truck. We swerved to get out of the way. And then another big passenger van hit us. On our right side, and you know, somehow, you know, Paul, who was driving, was able to keep control of the car. If not, it would have spun us around. So we almost got crushed by a big truck, and then we got hit by a passenger van. We're lucky, man. I'm glad I'm here in one piece and not a few pieces.
Yeah, we all read your tweet saying you were almost killed but uninjured, thankfully. Getting nervous here. We got this Anik and Florian podcast to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Bigger problems than that. But it's good to have you back. Obviously, we were on last week, and we did a little recap of Raleigh, North Carolina, and talked, of course, about the Kobe Bryant news, which I'd imagine is really sort of heavy out there in Los Angeles with the constant visual reminders. You know, I said on the show last week, for a non-Boston athlete, he was as beloved as it gets for me. And I know there are a lot of powerful visual reminders out there where you live about the late, great Kobe Bryant.
Without a doubt, man. You know, I'm not the biggest basketball fan, but I was always a fan of Kobe Bryant's because of his greatness, because of his amazing mindset of how he approached the sport. The guy was a true professional, and a guy who really has learned from his mistakes, has learned from adversity, and always was looking to make himself not only human in the process, but also constantly improving. And that's one thing that I've tried to do myself, and nobody did it better than Kobe Bryant in that regard. A true champion, on and off the basketball court, and it's just so tragic, man. He was a great family man, and really cared about his family. And you hear about this whole thing. He would take a helicopter to save time so he could be and spend more time with his family. And hearing about that accident, I was just so blown away, man. And I feel awful for him and his family and friends.
Have you been in a helicopter?
I have not. I am really afraid of it. Actually, my sister one time missed. She was supposed to do a helicopter ride in Hawaii at one point. She missed her appointment for the helicopter ride to kind of fly around. And that helicopter actually crashed. So ever since she told me that story, I have not wanted to be on a helicopter. I've been in a military helicopter, but not a a regular helicopter that flies around, you know, for travel reasons or whatever. But it's scary, man. Really scary stuff.
Well, I think I might have the next tattoo. Maybe something in honor of the late great Kobe Bryant. Did you watch the Super Bowl last night? Were you back in time to watch Super Bowl 54?
I did, man. Great game.
So, a couple things on that very quickly. So, you know, if the team that would have most been in the Patriots' way, the Kansas City Chiefs, wins,
yes,
then I made some money, right? We had a big bet on the Kansas City Chiefs from August 18th. So, one of my bigger hits.
Hell yeah.
And it was anxiety-filled, certainly down 10 with 6 and change to go. But nice to see the Chiefs come through. Really happy for Andy Reid. I don't always watch the halftime show. Like, last year I was at the Super Bowl. I didn't watch the halftime show because I was doing whatever whatever 40-year-old men do at halftime, probably using the restroom, right? But I watched Shakira and Jennifer Lopez crush it last night. And then I went on the internet, and there was a little bit of negativity out there. But for the most part, I think the masses agreed with me that this was a special performance. Now, I would lead with the fact that I have been softened by my two daughters for sure, and watching their reaction to this halftime show was pretty powerful. But I don't know what people are looking for, quite frankly, right? I mean, if this accelerated puberty for your 10-year-old son, I apologize. There were some powerful visuals there. But if you didn't like what Shakira and J-Lo brought to the table, as Michael Chiesa and others did not, I just don't know what to tell you.
I was impressed by the fact that they could still move like they can. Ooh. I mean, that was unbelievable. You know, it's one thing to sit there, have a microphone, and just sing. But these guys are elite. These women are elite performers as far as the whole package is, you know, bringing the energy, being able to dance like they do, singing, all that stuff. I thought I was pretty blown away by the performance. I'm not one who likes sticking around and watching halftime shows,
right,
to be honest.
Right.
But I was very impressed by J-Lo and Shakira.
One thing,
my Latina friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that has really rubbed off on me being in the mixed martial arts and fighting space is just physical conditioning and the shape you have to be in to do what these women do.
Yeah.
Right. I love seeing some of these young, and I hate to sound sexist here, but these young male singers, and you see them fucking gassing out all the time on stage, you know, because they're not in shape like these women were last night, right? You have got to be in shape to dance like that and still have the notes carry true. Shakira's fucking playing the guitar, playing the goddamn drums. What the fuck else are you looking for if you didn't like Shakira?
Unbelievable.
And this is going to be a tough act to follow, I would think, for whoever's is at Super Bowl 55. Certainly Bruno Mars, there have been great ones in the past, but for me, short-term memory, not great. That was the best one that I have seen. Best fighter I've ever seen is John Bones Jones. He headlines the pay-per-view this weekend, UFC 247, Jones versus Reyes. Toyota Center, Houston, Texas. Great fight crowd, obviously, Ken Flo. 14 consecutive title fight wins for John Jones. The no contest against Daniel Cormier in there when that head kick result was overturned. But this run of greatness, this strength of schedule, faced arguably its stiffest test last July in Thiago Santos. And so of all the different layers going into this championship fight for John Jones this weekend, the thing that I keep coming back to is that I know July is a long time ago now. That was a really hard title defense. And even though Dominic Reyes is not Thiago Maheta Santos, I do think there are some things certainly in that fight that potentially could be capitalized on this weekend. And I'm obviously excited to have a front row seat to see it play out.
I think so as well. I think John Jones is one of those guys that tends to get better as the fight goes on. And I think against Thiago Santos, we really didn't see that. If anything, we saw Santos kind of pour it on a little bit later in the fight. Both were dealing with leg injuries. I do think that it prevented us from seeing a great fight from both guys. I think that John Jones is at this point in his career when he's been so great and so dominant that if he has a close win, we almost see it as a loss. Well, I don't know. John Jones isn't that. You know, I think in this fight, he does need to kind of come back with something to prove. You know, a lot of people have said he is the greatest of all time. He absolutely could be just that. He's a phenomenal fighter, has a hell of a lot of skills in very different areas. When it comes to fight night, few, if any, can bring that energy and that ability like John Jones. And Reyes, I think, is one of the few guys who can match him as far as, you know, athleticism, height, size. It's going to be an interesting fight. It really is. I can't wait to talk about it later.
Yeah, later in the predictions, we'll certainly get into the Dominic Reyes side in a more in-depth way. But fascinating championship fight. And being there for Santos and Jones, when it went to the judges' scorecards, it was a split decision. I didn't know who had won that fight. I remember at the time thinking that maybe Maheta had done enough. He had not done enough, and John Jones is still the hunted, although he likes to call himself the hunter, and certainly that is probably a big part of his success, that mentality. Speaking of just mentally tough individuals, let us go to Garden City, New York. It is time for the Ray Longo Minute.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
I mean, I know this is not the Joe Rogan Experience, and the Christmas bonus check that we sent Ray Longo is not going to make that much of a difference. But Raymond, you can either cash the check, we can send you a fresh one. I mean, how do you guys do business in New York? Would you prefer PayPal?
Yeah, I just John, I love it, buddy. You're bringing the heat early. Damn.
Well, my wife said that I should text you this morning.
Check up on my mantle. Why, I'm supposed to cash it?
You want to save my autograph. I understand. No, my wife said, I got
Starbucks money. I don't need to cash it. What do we do?
That's right. Yeah, there's a Starbucks gift card in there as well, Ray. So,
this week I'll take care of that.
Yeah, no, you do whatever you goddamn well please, but we'll send you cash next time. But my wife's like, why don't you text me? I'm like, I think I'll bring it up on the air instead. I think that's so.
My wife is still in shock. She can't believe I made any money. It's crazy.
Right. Well, the public admittance.
She's in a state of shock.
Right, that, yeah. Hey, we're trying. 2020 is going to be a big year for the podcast. Big year.
Yeah, so new highs.
So UFC 246, Conor McGregor, when he fights, it's kind of a tough act to follow. The Super Bowl was last night. So I think this John Jones fight week is creeping up on people a little bit. Did you watch the Super Bowl, Ray? I know you're not all in on the NFL.
Yeah, no, that would be a no.
Not a minute, huh?
No. Normally I get at least, I would try to like watch something. But I was at the gym last night. I was with the machine, you know. Marab's got a big fight coming up, so I'm not even sure he knows what football is. So it worked out well.
Right.
I'm glad Longo didn't see the halftime show. He would have had a heart attack. This poor guy. I mean, J Lo and Shakira were on fire. Longo, you missed it.
Oh man, big J Lo fan too.
See?
Big fan. That I would have liked to have seen.
See, there you go.
I was on a recent podcast. They asked me on Drinking Bros podcast. They asked me about my celebrity crush, and I think I went Jennifer Lopez. I'm changing it now to Shakira, by the way. But I went Jennifer Lopez at the time, and they were like, "Wow, you're going a little bit older." I said, "Well, I'm a little bit older, man. You know."
Saw her at Fox Sports. She's a smoke show, man.
Wait, how old is J Lo now?
She's like 50, 51, something, right?
I gotta tell you that's absolutely phenomenal.
Crazy.
So maybe you've seen some clips, Ray, of the halftime show, but no actual football for you last night.
I didn't even see any clips of the halftime show, okay, to be honest with you. But I will go back and look at, because I like J-Lo.
So my daughter, it was a great game. See the Chiefs rally and Patrick Mahomes win one was pretty cool. But my daughter was saying she couldn't believe that they charged $5.6 million for a 30-second commercial spot. And I said to her, well, everybody's watching, you know, all over the world. And she's like, Daddy, everybody's not watching. And I should have said, you know what, you're right. Ray Longo is definitely out watching the Super Bowl. So, all right. So John Jones is fighting Dominic Reyes this weekend. I always like the former football players, right? I think there's a quality that they bring that is very intriguing to me in this whole mixed martial arts equation. That's why maybe I'm more intrigued by Greg Hardy based upon his NFL brilliance than some other people are. You got anything for me, Ray, on Dominic Reyes, having prepared for him recently, obviously, and what you think he can provide in terms of a challenge for Johnny Bones here in 5 or 6 days?
You know, look, I think Kenny was summing it up pretty well. I was listening to him while I was waiting. But, no, definitely an athletic dude. I think, you know, he rises to the occasion. Definitely has a great, you know, obviously he's got a great left hand. He's got the power. He's got the athleticism. I just think Jones is at another level. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of John Jones's problems. It's hard to get up for some fights where he just doesn't respect anybody, you know, and it's, I think that could eventually be his downfall, but I think even if something happened, he'd come back. I think it would make him a better fighter, but for right now, I just think Jones has too much for him. But Dominic, I think I am excited for the fight, though, you know, because, like, again, based on the last fight, you never know, you know, he always just does enough, and then you say, maybe, you know, like, even when he fought OSP, and everybody gets over, you know what I mean, he didn't look good, the other guy, you know, whatever it is, but John's a very talented guy, and he's going to be a hard guy to beat.
So Ken Flo was in the UK. He was not listening to the Anakin Florian podcast on the way. He was listening to some other shows, but he did catch wind, Ray, of you kind of breaking some Aljamain Sterling news with us for the first time, I think, in the history of your Ray Longo Minute, actually, last week.
Now we got
some meat.
I really went out on a limb, no?
Well, yeah, right. Well, I mean, more so than in past weeks.
Yeah, their dialogue going back and forth has been awesome, though.
Yeah, so if our listeners don't know, Aljamain Sterling and Piotr Jan have gone back and forth. Exceptional fight. Crazy in some respects to think that these men would have to get through the other to realize a championship opportunity, given what they put on paper, Ray. But, yeah, it seems like that's the fight and potentially a five-round main event. What do you think?
I think that's going to happen. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, hats off to Aljo. He's really stepping up. We know Jan, obviously, Jan's a killer. But I think it's a great opportunity for Aljo to really, you know, show what he's got.
All right, we'll get you out of here with Longo's lock of the week, 0-1. After, I don't know what you had earlier, but you're in the red. What do you got? John Jones, Valentina Shevchenko, big betting favorites this weekend against Caitlin Chookagian and Dominic Reyes, respectively. You got a big fight, Mursad Bektic, Dan Ige, the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, taking on Aleir Latifi. I mean, do you have a lock for our listeners as to who's going to get it done here at UFC 247?
Wait, what are the odds on the Jones and the Valentina fight?
Well, John is minus 450, Dominic Reyes about plus 325, Valentina a massive favorite, like minus 1400.
Minus 1400.
Yeah, so Caitlin,
Caitlin's looking good, man. I don't know if that's really almost insulting at this point, but I think, look, I'll pick Caitlin to win the fight. I love her. She's a great kid. I watched the train. She really put the time in for this fight. I'm going to go with a big upset with Caitlin. I'm not saying that's my lock, but that's what I want to happen for sure.
All right, I'm excited to sit down with her on Thursday and see what she says, because I know some have knocked her risk management and unwillingness at times to take risks, and got to go for it in the title fight, but we'll see if she stays the course and you know, sticks to what got her here. But yeah, Longo sticking with the tri-state area fighter there. Tell your wife when you do go to the bank to go ahead.
This week, I promise.
Well, tell your wife,
let me just say one thing. For the people that think I'm speaking over John, when you're on the telephone doing this, I basically can't hear, so I can't hear when he's stopping, starting, so I apologize, but it's just the way it is for right now.
And I can be, I can be shorter with my wind, I suppose, as well, right? Hopefully
the chemistry
is not an issue.
You came out swinging today, buddy.
Episodes. Yeah, I'm ready to go. You know, I mean, it's...
go ahead. Sorry.
I just was going to say, tell your wife when you go to the bank to cash the check that if you picked fights a little bit better in 2019, that check would be a little fatter. I hope she knows that there is some helpability here.
Honey, we're rich. Get the truck. We're going to the bank tomorrow. Hey, I'm just glad Kenny Florian's okay. I read something that there was almost a potential catastrophe in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm lucky I'm here. It's good to be alive. It's good to be back home, and it's good to be back with you guys.
I mean, is it safe to say that your hair saved you in that situation?
I think the weight of my hair, actually, when we swerved, it actually balanced out the car. So, yeah. Thank goodness for the lettuce.
God bless you, son. God bless you.
There you go.
Hey, have a great week.
I'm glad you're all right on a serious note.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, Ray. Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'll see you. I'll give you a call after I go to the bank.
call me on the way back to your house.
Yeah, because I think she might have kissed you. She said the teller actually started to laugh. I don't know what that meant.
Yeah.
But the teller actually started to giggle. I got to figure out what that means. I don't know.
Every penny counts, right? Every penny counts.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, guys. Listen, have a great week. We'll talk after the fight. Very excited this weekend, and I'll see you next week.
That's there, right. Always fucking riding me about how much we pay you. See you, buddy. Got Sarah being like, "You guys got to pay Longo more." You know, it's like, "Why don't you send us a sponsor too, Sarah? Get the fuck out of here." Ray Longo minute every week here on the Anik and Fullerton podcast. About 40 weeks a year, we do the pronunciation of the week when there is a UFC live event, and of course there is one this weekend, so let us get to that. This middleweight competes in what will be the featured prelim Saturday night. It is live on ESPN. Not talking about his opponent, Trevin Giles. That'd be too easy for TJ. I'm talking about a guy out of Belém, Brazil. Dana White Contender Series guy, lost the UFC debut back in November. TJ DeSantis, 0-1 on the year. Is that right, TJ? Miss on Lucia Pudilova, 0-1 for you. Is that right?
I mean, I always win. You guys just find a way to screw me, but sure, 0-1.
I just want all you guys to tell your wives, right, that if you guys could actually, well, you were above 500, so I digress. So who am I talking about? Who am I talking about, TJ?
Antonio Arroyo.
Let's hear him say it.
Antonio Arroyo. Antonio Arroyo.
Kempa loves here. Guys pronounce it.
I do. I'd give it to TJ. I think he got it on that one. Yeah.
See, Kenny, you're a language guy. You're a linguist. Speak six languages. You think Ken Flo at this point in his life, by the way, is so sick of people saying, like, dude, you speak six languages. It's like, guys, that was 15 years ago. I probably speak three and a half of them now.
It's
right?
True. It's
Brazilian true, Portuguese has probably gone to shit. It's pretty strong.
I know. I'm not your translator anymore. I can't practice as much.
Big win for TJ DeSantis now, 1-1 on the year. All right. It is time to make some picks for UFC 247 on pay-per-view this weekend. Let us get to the main event challenge.
It's the main event challenge. Anik.
The time is most definitely now.
Florian.
I finished fights! I'm going to do everything possible to win.
The main event challenge. The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
Seems like Ken Flo's voice gets higher every time I play that drop. Support for the Anik and Florian podcast brought to you by Manscaped, who is absolutely the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And you got to think a lot of you guys out there at this point in time have had to do some manscaping. If not, you know, power to you. But when you are manscaping, it doesn't always go off without a hitch. I can speak to that. Or a nick, I guess, is probably the better word, right? Well, that's why Manscaped spent 18 months redesigning the electric trimmer to perfect the greatest below-the-waist trimmer ever created. This is the Lawnmower 3.0. It's in my hand right now. They have just released it. New and improved. Third iteration, third generation. Features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents, right? No metal, ceramic blade. Probably not going to cut your junk, right? I mean, I'm not trying to have my daughter listen to this episode necessarily, but this is real stuff, guys, right? No nicks for me, courtesy of this Lawnmower 3.0. This is a premium product. It even has an LED light for more precise trimming. They've upgraded the motor. Battery lasts up to 90 minutes. You can take it on the road. Rapid charging dock powered by USB, which makes it super easy. They really have thought of everything, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself, because this lawnmower, I'm telling you, has honestly become a life-changing product for me just over the last 2 weeks. So trim that junk of yours, Ian Parker. Help the show at the same time. 20% off free shipping with the code AF at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code AF for Anik Florian. Manscaped.com, promo code AF for 20% off with free shipping. And Ian Parker now joins us for the main event challenge. And Ian Parker is groomed. You won't stop talking about your lawnmower on text message to me.
I'm all about the 3.0. I'm so freshly faded for Monday morning. It's insane. And now I don't have to use the same thing for my face as I use now for my balls. This is wonderful. What a terrible problem most people have. And now my brother comes to visit. I'm going to make sure he gets one, because there are times when I was younger, I'd catch him with my buzzer. I'd be like, yo, that's for your face, right? And he'd be like, no. And he'd be like, we're brothers. What's the big deal? Now he's got his own lawnmower 3.0. So,
can't mix the face. Yeah. Can't mix the facial hair with down there. I mean, you just can't.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Thank you.
I remember a girlfriend back in the day was like, are you using that? Are you shaving your head with the same? And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. I should buy two. And now, of course, courtesy of Manscaped.com. So 20% off. Promo code is AF. All right, big week for Ian Parker. UFC Fight Night, Blades versus Dos Santos. Ian gets the best of Ken Flo, evens the scoreboard 11. So Team Florian's early lead is now gone as we hit UFC 247, Jones versus Reyes. Let us start with the featured prelim on ESPN. You just heard us talk about it. Trevin Giles, the minus 140 betting favorite against Antonio Ahoyo, who comes back at plus 120. Ian Parker, who do you have here?
I'm going to start off this episode going with the underdog. I like Antonio Ahoyo at the moment. Trevin Giles, obviously good wrestler. However, what he showed us in his last fight against Gerald was that when he's on top, he doesn't move, he doesn't really advance his position. He doesn't really show us anything with that wrestling, and his gas tank wasn't a whole lot. Ahoyo is tough, man. He's big for this weight class. He can strike. You know, in his fight against Muniz in his last fight, it was actually during your charity challenge, John, where we watched him spend a lot of time on his back. However, he was tough, cardio for days. If he can keep this fight standing, I like him. I just don't know if Giles is ready for this level yet. That last fight, the IQ just wasn't there, in my opinion. He's got talent. He's got the athletic ability, but I'm going to roll with the underdog on this pick. I'm going Ahoyo.
I was a little drunk for the charity challenge. Maybe that's why I didn't quite remember this guy. Ken Flo Ahoyo trains under the Matajo brothers. You know them well, Ildemar and Yuri Alcantara. Home game for Giles, definitely a more UFC-tested guy in terms of the experience, but he's failed his last two tests, submission losses, Zach Cummings, Gerald Merschart. Could be fighting for his job here at home. Kenny, what do you think about Giles against Ahoyo?
And for Giles, those have been tough matchups for him in the past. And listen, he gets another tough one in Ahoyo. I think Ahoyo, his leg kicks, his ability to just utilize that that big weapon of his repeatedly is going to be tough for Giles to deal with. I think Giles is going to have a tough time taking him down as well. He is very big for the weight class. I think if Ahoyo is mentored properly, this is a guy that I think could be in the rankings by next year. I do think he has a lot of potential. And watching him fight, I was impressed. And I think Ahoyo is going to take this. This is the best underdog bet on the card, period.
Wow. Ken Flo convicted. The betting line is moving. If you guys will excuse me for a second while I place a bet here on Ken Flo and Ian move the betting line. But
I say last time I said that it was on Roxy, by the way, when Roxy against Barber. I'm just saying. I don't usually say that often.
Antonio Ahoyo plus 120 right now. He can be had at plus money if you so choose. All right. Pay-per-view opener. Fighting out of Houston, Texas, USA. The Black Beast, Derek Lewis. Minus 280 home favorite here against the backyard shed, Aleer Latifi, a plus 220 underdog. So Latifi moving up to heavyweight, Ken Flo, following a 7-5 stint at 205 pounds in the UFC. What do you think about Latifi at heavyweight and ultimately in this spot against the Black Beast?
Geez, I don't love this fight for him at heavyweight. I don't love him at heavyweight, to be honest. I think that he was short at 205 pounds. He's going to be really short at heavyweight. He does have a shot if he's able to take Derek Lewis down and look for some kind of submission. I just don't see it happening. I think Derek Lewis is going to be too big. And I think that everything that Aleer Latifi does, I think Derek Lewis does better on the feet, to be honest. I think he's sneaky fast with his leg kicking game as well, or his kicking game, not necessarily his leg kicking game, but his kicking game in general. I think he should go upstairs against Latifi and look for that big right hand. I like Derek Lewis to win this one, and most likely by finish.
Yeah, Kenny, and you got to think he put in all the right work given this Houston backdrop. He wants to put on a show. He wants to win the extra money, maybe with a bonus, coming off a hard-fought decision win against Blagoy Ivanov at UFC 244. That was in November. So Derek Lewis, Ian, 19th UFC appearance for him. First in Houston, though, since 2015. probably the biggest pop of the night going to be when he makes that walk. What do you think about Derek Lewis against against your boy Latifi?
My boy Latifi, you make it seem like we just hung out last week, although he looks like a guy I do want to hang out with. I want to go horseback riding with Latifi. You know, I just I want to ride into the sunset with him. I think Derek Lewis I thought Derek Lewis lost that last fight against Blagoy. You know, I think there is a clear blueprint how to beat Derek Lewis. It's either bring this into the later rounds, test his cardio, or bring him to the floor. Latifi can do that. The problem, though, is he's got to stand up a little bit. And to Kenny's point, that height is going to be a problem against someone as big as Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is sneaky fast, does have good hands. I think he's gotten more technical as his career kind of has progressed a little bit. He's definitely evolved in that department. Obviously, his last fight didn't go his way. To me, I actually don't mind. And if you're up a lot of money going into this fight, I don't mind playing Latifi, because if he can get this fight to the ground, Derek Lewis is not great jiu-jitsu, but he was able to get up a lot with Blagoy every single time. So that's why I am going to take that. And that impressed me, because I think Blagoy is overall a better MMA wrestler than Latifi, outside of the slams that Latifi's able to do. But it's hard to take. It's hard because, to Kenny's point, at heavyweight, he's not big, and Lewis has fought better competition. So I'm going to go Derek Lewis as well here. I think he does finish him through strikes as well. And then I hope we get on that microphone and hear Derek Lewis's next, you know, famous quote. You know, nothing's going to top my balls is hot, but I think he's got something in the back pocket, definitely for everybody.
Yeah, it's probably a segue there with Manscaped on board.
Manscaped.
Right?
My balls was hot.
So if he Manscaped, it wouldn't be so hot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, if you really want to get into it, right, I got a bottle of fucking ball deodorant right here. I mean, there are tools, people.
Right.
There are tools.
There it is.
Manscaped.com, promo code AF. So I'm trying to get this backyard shed nicknamed a stick, Ken Flo. So you know I've had a couple winners, right? Mississippi Mean for Jason Knight. Tim Means Business, the King of Kenosha for Ben Rothwell. So the sledgehammer is Alir Latifi. There are a lot of sledgehammers out there. There's a big one on Tiago Santos's chest, right? Yeah. Like, but imagine Buffer saying the backyard shed. No?
It's a good one, dude. I like it. Or the fire hydrant. The fire hydrant.
Right. And that's the more traditional combat sports, right? He's built like a baseball catcher, built like a fire hydrant, right? Little fucking Spock plug Chad Mendez over there, right? All right. Fight that jumps off the card for me is in the featherweight division. Mirsad Bektic. By the way, he was Bektic for most of his UFC career. We are now going Bektic.
Okay.
So Mirsad Bektic. -145, Dan Ige +115. Neither guy is ranked because featherweight is so loaded right now. Ige's won 4 in a row, Kenny. Bektic, of course, training under your guy Faraz Sahabi there in Montreal. Bektic stopped by Josh Emmett pretty viciously in what was his only start of 2019. What do you think, Kenny? We'll leave with you here on Bektic and Dan Ige.
You know, I think Bektic needs to be careful, you know, trading in the pocket for too long. You know, I think he gets a little overconfident, and it's just not the place you want to be for too long with 4-ounce gloves. And I also would like to see him kind of rely on his wrestling a little bit more. I do think that, you know, Dan Ige, you know, isn't really so much of a threat, but still I'd like to on the feet, I should say. But I do think Bektic should go back to his wrestling, put him on the mat. I think he's much better at controlling, utilizing ground and pound to kind of win rounds. I think this is a good fight for Bektic to come back and get back in the win column.
There have been a lot of expectations and hype placed upon Mirsad Bektic, really dating to his UFC debut. Kenny, you remember the George St. Pierre comparisons way back in the day. Dan Ige is an animal, right? I mean, just an animal. When I watch that guy, obviously we could break down the skills, but just seems to want it more than most right now. What are you thinking about Dan Ige as a slight dog this weekend?
You know, Bektic is, like you said, there's been a lot of talk of him over the years. I think his you know, he had that loss to Elkins that, you know, kind of threw him off that hype train a little bit. And obviously the Emmett fight, to Kenny's point, I think against Emmett, if he would have not traded in the pocket with such a power puncher like Emmett, I think he would have had good success. He is a very fast, strong, athletic guy for this weight. And with that type of wrestling he has, the striking is just so unassumed that it's been great for him. The problem is a guy like Ige is going to come at you, and he doesn't stop. And we know what Ige is going to try and do. He's going to try and overwhelm you, outcard you, and put Bektic. I've been saying Bektic for a long time. No surprise, I don't get anyone's name right. But Bektic on his back and kind of just, you know, grind him for three rounds. I just think Bektic is going to be too strong physically for that type of style. And I think to Kenny's point, if Bektic can kind of flip the switch, not get cocky, not trade in the pocket, not that Ige is going to really threaten with the power and the striking again. Kenny, I'm sorry to be redundant here, but you kind of hit it spot on. I think Bektic needs to put Ige on his back and grind him out for a couple of rounds. And then in the third round, the wrestling's a threat, the striking's there. So I'm going Bektic as well. I still think he's got plenty of potential with the right team. He's just got to fight a little smarter. I think it's a good fight. If he can get over the hump with this type of fight, use that IQ, use the plan that Faraz will have for him. And I think you'll see that prospect kind of rise to the occasion again.
My amateur eyes tell me on any given Saturday night, both of these guys are competitive in the top 10 at 145 pounds. I would walk to that window to bet against Dan Ige at your own peril. I think it's a close fight. We'll see who gets it done, Bektic or Ige, here coming up on pay-per-view this weekend. All right, featured bout at heavyweight, Juan Adams, minus 230 against Justin Badman Taffa, plus 180. So Adams trying to rebound from what was just a god-awful effort in that loss to Greg Hardy, Ian. That was last July. He's made wholesale changes in advance of this one, training out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We will see if he can release the Kraken on Justin Taffa. Who do you like here?
This one's a weird one for me, because with Taffa, we didn't see much, you know, again, a lot of expectations from him, and then he's the one that suffered that devastating backup knockout from Castro, right? So I know there's a little bit of hype behind him, but Juan Adams just really doesn't do it for me. That Hardy fight, Kenny and I spoke, the advantage for him there was the wrestling, and we just don't see it. I think he's been really reliant on his power and his hands. And when you get to this level, especially in heavyweight, you got to utilize where you're better than everybody else. So I may roll the dice at the moment. I may switch. I'm going to go with Taffa right now, because I think if this fight stays on the feet, I just think he's got more power. I know there's going to be a big height differential. I think it's 6'4 to 6 feet. But to me, I just don't know if Juan has it mentally anymore. I know he writes on Twitter all these positive things, but what Hardy did to him, sometimes people just don't come back from. And Taffa seems like that guy that if you knock him out, he doesn't give a shit. He will come back and fight the same way. So I'm going underdog here. I'm going Taffa.
All right, Justin Taffa, plus 180 for IP. Very much a developing fighter, Kenny. He was 3-0 when he made that UFC debut against Jorgen DeCastro last October, UFC 243. We'll see how he responds here against Juan Adams. What do you think about this one at heavyweight, kid?
This is a tricky one. You know, at heavyweight, it's almost a crapshoot every single time, and just a lot of these guys just kind of throw down, and you never know what's going to happen, and don't always approach it from the most strategic viewpoint. But, you know, listen, I think that if Juan Adams goes out there and executes a smart game plan, he should be able to win. Whether he does that, I don't know, but I'm going to go with Juan Adams here. I think his wrestling should get it done. I don't love him trading on the feet for too long with Taffa, but, let's go with Adams.
All right, so some dissension there as we move to the co-headliner for the UFC women's flyweight title. Valentina Shevchenko, minus 1,400. Caitlin Chookagian, plus 750, of course. Title fight will need the round and the method of victory. Ian, what kind of chance do you give Caitlin Chookagian relative to recent Shevchenko victims, opponents? How competitive are you expecting this title fight to be Saturday night?
I honestly think outside of Amanda Nunes, no one else beats Valentina. However, I think Caitlin Chookagian, how am I to describe this? I think because of her height and her range and the way she uses her distance, can keep Valentina away. However, I don't think this is going to be the high kick that wins this fight. I think Valentina is just so smart, so well-rounded. I think she brings this fight to the ground where Caitlin is not up to speed, not up to par with her, where she can't use her range. And I think Valentina actually gets this fight done by third round submission. I do think that Chookagian is probably, outside of like Jessica Eye, a lot of these people come in there and they say, oh, I'm going to be the one to knock them out. Like, don't underestimate my hands. She's been very kind of quiet about this. I think she is very unassuming with how she fights. Her style is tricky. It's very unorthodox. And She's long. She's very long. So keeping Valentina away is going to be really important. How competitive? Again, in the women's division, I don't think anyone should ever be minus 1,100, minus 1,000, just like Kenny and I spoke about, because what if Chukagian can keep this distance and outpoint Valentina? Do I see that happening? No, but, you know, I just think her style may confuse Valentina a little bit. I still am going to go Valentina, though, because I'm deathly afraid of her. And I do think she is a Russian spy, despite what she tells people. Huh. So I'm going to go Valentina. I think she's so smart. She will threaten her striking, take this fight to the ground, take the back. I think I'm even going to say rare naked choke round three.
All right, Valentina, round three submission. So, Kenny, I'm going to try to do this quickly, but the conversation for the greatest women's MMA fighter of all time seems to be a one-sided conversation. It begins and ends with Amanda Nunes, and easy to see why, but when Valentina fights, I feel a need to bring this up and at least point out that Amanda Nunes has four career losses, could have five if the split decision in the rematch between Shevchenko and Nunes went to Valentina. And I think there's rightful appreciation out there from Valentina's fellow fighters. I think from the avid fans, they recognize how good she is. Sponsors certainly understand how good and valuable Valentina Shevchenko is. Big Instagram following. But largely, I just feel like she's so underappreciated relative to everything that has changed in the life of Amanda Nunes. And I think the people that give the most respect to Shevchenko, Las Vegas, Nevada, she's minus 1,400 here. On the Chukagian side, I think she draws a lot of strength flow from her team, from John Donaher. Every time we sit down with her, she talks about her jiu-jitsu. We haven't seen her offensively try to use it necessarily. Not sure if this is the matchup in which she'll be able to do so, but just wanted to get that out there. What do you think about the co-headliner this weekend?
You know, in regards to Shevchenko, I think it's tough because, you know, she has been in, you know, what a lot of people would probably classify as boring fights. I think that she is a more of a counter striker. She's not the kind of girl who's going to get right in your face and get right to it. She definitely likes to analyze and assess things. And if you have a lot of openings, she will certainly expose them over time. You know, I think she's a fantastic fighter. I really do. I have a lot of respect for Shevchenko and her style. You know, might not be, you know, the kind of Mike Tyson-esque style of Amanda Nunes, right. But she is very, very effective. I think this is going to be another one of those fights that, you know, it's going to be a slow-moving fight. Chukagian is one of those fighters that really she takes her time and how she approaches. She's a little bit more conservative. I do not see a finish in this fight. I really don't. I think that it's going to be a decision for Shevchenko. We will get five rounds. I don't think things are going to heat up too much. If they do, probably a little bit later in the fight. I think both are going to be very kind of calculating during this fight, and I like Shevchenko by decision.
Sounds like he likes the over 4.5 rounds there. All right, main event. For many years, this was considered the UFC's glamour division. Light heavyweight, 205 pounds. The champ is John Jones. He's minus 450. Challenger Dominic Reyes, plus 325. Better prices can be had if you want to shop out there. So 14 straight title fight wins, Ian, for John Jones. Obviously, regardless of what he does from here on out, legend, Hall of Famer, first ballot. But the last title defense was very close in my mind, and it makes me more intrigued for this weekend than maybe I otherwise would be. I also feel like Dominic Reyes brings with him not just the confidence of being an undefeated fighter, but a whole bunch of different skills and length and athleticism and mental toughness and confidence and things that John's really going to have to deal with. I understand why John's the prohibitive favorite, but I'm excited to see what Reyes can do with the opportunity. Give us a prediction for the main event here coming up Saturday.
Huh, listen, when John Jones fights, I'm always excited because he really is. I mean, who's done what he's done? Obviously, the past is in the past. Some other things doesn't mean you have to forget about it, but his performances are always phenomenal. The fight against, you know, Santos, I actually thought he won not by split. I thought he actually, I mean, nothing against Santos. Guy fought with, like, no knees pretty much. You know, for me, Dominic Reyes does bring a different animal in the athleticism department, but I look at it this way. He's not going to be a better wrestler than DC. He's not a better striker than Alexander Gustafsson. So, and is he a better fighter than Marietta? You know, I don't think so. I think John has seen better. I probably mispronounced. That's probably why you're laughing at me.
Just calling Maheta Marietta just threw me totally off course.
I'm sorry. I don't know, but whatever. You knew who I was talking about. I should have just went with Santos. I was on a roll. But
Santos, if you really want to nitpick. But
hey, can I also jump in here on the Ian Parker bashing? I can't. What do you mean you don't think he won by split decision? Do you have three judges in your head? Do you have multiple personalities? Is one a duck? Is that where the quacking comes from?
Right. I thought that.
No. I get it. I just don't care. I'm kidding. I didn't think it was a split decision.
No. What he's saying is that your scorecard, you believe John won, but
you can't turn in a split decision.
Right.
All right.
Anyway.
Listen.
Okay, next time we'll explain the unified rules to Ian Parker.
I appreciate it. Are we even talking about, is this the NFL? What sport is this? I'm not qualified.
I'm isolating that. I'm not qualified.
I'm not qualified. This
drop
is
will be ready next week.
This is like a fucking Make-A-Wish Foundation while I'm on this fucking show, I guess. I love you guys. Manscaped 3.0. All right, so I'm all thrown off. So long story short, I think Reyes is going to be a little bit of a problem in the early going. You know, the fight with Volkan, he says, was his worst performance, but we did see some holes there. And again, another fight that I didn't think he won that fight. I just think John is just too good everywhere to not have a threat to be taken down to the ground. Just have to be worried about a guy's power and athleticism. I go with John Jones all day. I don't think he gets the finish. I think Jones will win by decision. I think Reyes is the guy deserving of the title shot. I just don't think he's the one to beat John Jones. I think if John is ever going to lose, it will be up at heavyweight. Until then, he will remain the go-to 205.
Ken Flo, I love witnessing greatness. I love Johnny Bones. I'm so happy that he has sort of righted things outside the octagon, and he's been an active champion and a huge, consistent pay-per-view force for the UFC over the last 12 or 18 months or so. But I'm really curious. I mean, the best part of this job, I always say, is seeing guys like Volkanovski break through and become first-time UFC champions. And honestly, Ken Flo, right? Like, the fan in me just wants to sit here and say to you, like, Reyes don't give a fuck. Like, he'll bring up the eye pokes, right? Like, he is confident beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's better than John Jones, that he's the more prime fighter with less miles on the tank. You know, guys who feel like they should be in the NFL, right? Like, and don't get there. Like, he was going in there with all the confidence of a world champion on Saturday night. And, you know, Thiago Santos, in my mind, maximized that opportunity, nearly won the fight. I think Reyes is just as capable. I really do.
You know, I think that Reyes does offer some interesting looks at John Jones. I think for one, he can definitely throw that left hand going backwards. That is a tricky shot. And for a guy in John Jones who, can lose his focus at times during a fight, he's got to be careful with that. I think John Jones needs to go back to his kicking game. He needs to lead with his legs way more, especially those side kicks and that front kick to the body. I think if he's able to do that and back up Dominic Reyes without allowing Reyes to counter, he's in trouble. I don't see Reyes really moving forward in this fight effectively against someone like John Jones. I think John Jones is going to be able to establish the distance or mix things up and look for a takedown or hit some takedowns. I think that's where John Jones can not only win this fight, but actually be dominant in his performance. I don't see a finish happening until a little bit later. This is a tough fight for Reyes. I think he's got some height, and I think he has an excellent left hand going backwards. But other than that, John Jones has faced much tougher fighters. He does have some mileage on him. I don't think the time is now, though, where John Jones is actually slowing down. What I do think, though, is John Jones has missed out on an opportunity. I don't feel the same kind of buzz for this fight like I have in previous right. John Jones fights. I just think that, like, you know, especially coming off the Conor fights and other, he's not the same. For me, I feel like he's not the same star that he is. It doesn't mean he's not a great fighter. I just feel like the same attention when John Jones would go into a fight, I think it's two things. First of all, he's lost opportunities as far as being consistent with his career. And number two, he doesn't have a rival that I think, for me, that I really care about. And maybe Dominic Reyes is that guy. If he wins, hey, that's awesome. Right. I'll see a rematch. This would be very exciting. Great for the division. Almost good for John Jones in some ways. But right. I don't know. I just don't see a challenge out there for John Jones in that division. I think John Jones gets a fourth round TKO.
All right, John Jones, round four TKO. Ian, we got about 30 seconds if you have a final word, and then we'll get you out of here, kid.
No, I think Kenny brought up a really good point that I missed, and it was in my head. The takedown there for John, you know, in a lot of fights, people didn't expect him to do it, where he got in the guard through the elbows. You know, we haven't really seen Reyes on his back much, and I think that is something that John can threat with his wrestling. And, Kenny, I kind of agree with you also with the spotlight situation. You got a guy like Connor who could carry anything, and a guy like John should have that same star power. And unless it's a rival like Rashad Evans or a DC, you don't get that angry side of John in the media. So you're not really feeling the juice. And this type of card, besides the main and the co-main, could have really used that John Jones sauce, because Dominic Reyes was giving it. He was trying to poke John on social media, trying to get that at him to market it. But to your point, I think you're spot on right there.
All right. At Parker Cage Hero on social media, Ian Parker with us for the main event challenge. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ian.
You got it.
All right, so we will see how it goes. John Jones, Dominic Reyes, that is your main event, UFC 247, coming up this weekend. We will get some final thoughts on that with Joe Osborne. Let's get to the pick to click.
Time now for the pick to click. The pick to click.
All I have to do is bet on the winner, and I'll never lose.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
All right, today's pick to click brought to you by OddsShark.com. OddsShark is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks with expert in-depth analysis for each game. Their free statistics, numbers, and trends will help you make the sharp picks on game day. Head over to OddsShark and start playing like a shark today. OddsShark.com. Don't forget that second S. And I can assure you, I go to OddsShark.com every goddamn day of the week. I follow all of their talent on social media. When they're throwing out free picks, more often than not, I am playing them. And we are now happy to be joined in his guest spot by sports analyst from OddsShark on social media. You can find him at JTFOZ. Joe Osborne is with us the day after Super Bowl 54. Joe, good morning. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Man, I feel a little hungover, actually, after that game. What a game, what a performance by Mahomes in the fourth quarter. Great game. Can't ask for much better of a Super Bowl than that, eh?
Yeah, you got to love the back and forth and obviously the late rally. I didn't feel great about my Chiefs future ticket, certainly sitting there down 10 midway through the fourth quarter. But you were on the Chiefs and had to feel pretty good to see them come back and ultimately cover the number with ease.
Yeah, it's good to hit a big one, you know. Last game of the year, of course, you obviously want to win. And, you know, I felt really good about them. You know, I never liked being on the public side, and that was the public side. You know, they had Mahomes, Mr. MVP, the face of the league, and you tend to see a lot of casual backers back a team in that situation. But, man, they were just rolling. And, you know, they proved it in their two previous games against the Texans and the Teddy. No lead was safe with them, but...
Right.
It kind of looked a little bit different in the fourth quarter after Mahomes' second interception. They were up to plus 400 on the live money line. But, you know, a bit of a choke by the 49ers, to be honest. But, you know, it was great to see Andy Reid get that ring.
Yeah, that was the lasting image for me, seeing the fat genius Andy Reid finally break through. Kyle Shanahan certainly is going to have his opportunities, but definitely let one slip through the cracks last night. Hey, real quick, I did see you push out something on the halftime show with Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. You know, the public seems to be more split than I thought they would be in terms of the value of this halftime show. I know your kids are too young to have appreciated this, but I don't know, man. This was greatness to me. This was pretty much everything I'm looking for in a halftime show.
Yeah, talk about fantastic entertainment, right? You know, it was tailor-made for a male audience, wasn't it? You know, a little bit of football and I guess we'll call it a very titillating halftime performance. And, you know, people are kind of joking. J-Lo's 50 years old. She certainly doesn't look it. And, you know, it was a good performance. High-quality entertainment. I think it was it last year. The guy from Maroon 5 ripped his shirt off and gave the ladies a bit of a show. But this one was all about the men.
I was at that Super Bowl and missed that entire halftime show. So, all right, I want to get to John Jones, but before we get there, quick look ahead to Super Bowl 55. The odds are obviously out there. Chiefs are favored, which will be the first defense here of their championship. You know, I circled a couple numbers today. Carolina Panthers 66-1, whole new brass there running that team. The Raiders at 35-1, maybe an outside shot there. I do like Baltimore at 8 or 9 to 1, depending on the number. What are you looking at Super Bowl 55 here? I know it's pretty early.
One team that, you know, I hate that I'm looking at this team, and you'll probably be happy to hear this, but, you know, we have the New England Patriots there at 11-1, and, you know, things kind of point to them re-signing Tom Brady at this point, and it's one last push that they're going to make. You know, none of these guys are getting any younger, and they had, this past regular season, possibly the best defense, easily a top five defense in the league. They're going to have most of those guys coming back. And you can see them completely retooling at the skill position, running back and wide receiver, and giving Tom a little bit more to play with. And they still play in that division, right, the AFC East. So they're going to have a great shot to get a first-round bye again there. So 11-1, pretty good odds there. Yeah. And another team that I like quite a bit in terms of a value play, Seattle Seahawks, 25-1. This is a team that very easily could have ended the regular season with the number one seed in the NFC. But I think those injuries finally caught up to them, especially at the running back position. So two teams that have a realistic shot and are offering pretty good value, in my opinion, Patriots and Seahawks.
Yeah, I like that. Seahawks play 25-1, tough division. But Russell Wilson's got to get another one, and no better time to do it the next season. All right, before we let you go, so I know you're locked in on the UFC stuff. Johnny Bones fighting this weekend. He's minus 450. It's the 20th consecutive time that he has been a betting favorite. And for a lot of bettors, that price is going to be too steep for a straight wager. Maybe you throw him in a parlay. But if you want to bet on John Jones or he's fighting, how do you attack the board?
Well, you got to take a look at props, right? Like, I'm in no rush to bet against John Jones. I think he's going to win this fight, but I'm also in no rush to bet him straight up at minus 450, right? There's not a whole lot of money to be made there. So you got to take a look at props. And my favorite bet to this fight is for the fight to go to decision. You can get it at plus 175. My reasons are Jones, you know, he hasn't been extremely aggressive in his past two fights, resulting in each of them going to decision, giving a pretty good payout in each case. And he's actually gone to decision in six of his last eight fights. He seems to be emphasizing point fighting and winning rounds as opposed to, you know, landing that one big shot or a big flurry of strikes. Taking a look at Dominic Reyes, small sample size, but as the competition has risen, he's gone to decision in two of his last three fights. And why I also like this bet, it does leave the door open to either fighter winning. So either fighter can win by decision, and you get it at plus 175. Now, one little red flag for this bet would be Jones perhaps being a little bit more motivated for this fight than his past two, as there seems to be some legit heat between him and Reyes, and we didn't see that with his last two fights. But ultimately, plus 175, I think, is pretty good value to see this one go to decision.
Stuff, buddy, on social media, at JTFOZ. Joe, before we let you go, for people that want to check out your daily, weekly content at oddshark.com, is it as simple as just heading over to the website? Where should they go?
Yeah, head over to the website. We're updating everything. You know, we're going to be on everything, man. XFL starts this week, so we're going to get into some XFL action. Make sure you check us out. Of course, NBA, college basketball, NHL, Major League Baseball starts soon. March Madness is right around the corner. Big fights every weekend. So find it all at oddshark.com and check me out on Twitter, JTFOZ.
Atta baby. Talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks for the time, as always. Joe Osborne with us here on the Anik and Florian podcast. Ken Flo, before we go, and I do think maybe there's some value there on Johnny Bones at plus 175, but the fan in me just keeps coming out thinking that motivation's going to be at an all-time high, not necessarily because there's the bad blood. I mean, certainly he'd love to go out and finish Dominic Reyes, who's not been afraid to talk some shit, but because those last two defenses did not produce a finish, right? I just think that he's going balls to the wall to trying to elbow somebody's face off this weekend. You know?
I agree. I think he needs to. Now it really is the time for him to kind of remind everybody who John Jones is and just how good this guy is. And I think, you know, people are high on Dominic Reyes. There are some people out there that believe Reyes can get it done. I think John Jones needs to go out there and really make a statement, and I think he just might do that on Saturday night.
All right, we'll be watching on pay-per-view, ESPNplus.com/PPV. That will do it for this week. Thank you to our guests. Ray Longo, Ian Parker, Joe Osborne, TJ DeSantis, Mike Heck. Thank you, fellas, for putting it all together. And, of course, thanks to all the listeners, the watchers, I guess we call them viewers. Thanks to everybody out there listening, subscribing, hitting that new YouTube channel as well. We got a huge championship doubleheader coming up in Houston this weekend. Hopefully you'll watch it and then be right back with us as we recap it for you next Monday, February 10th. Glad to have the Peruvian American Ken Flo back on American soil. Good to see you, buddy. With that, Ken Flo, I'm John Anik. Thank you all. Love you all. Until then, enjoy the fights. Don't text and drive. You'll later.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, we take on a couple of villains to sort out whether bad stuff is also illegal stuff. George Santos won a seat in Congress by lying to voters, but is that a crime? And Kanye West made it clear he hates Jews. In England, he'd go to jail for that. Here in America, did he commit a hate crime? Listen to Too Many Lawyers on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family, and 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.